Hello and welcome to Things Your Pastor Should Be Preaching. Today's topic is on the work of the Holy Spirit. Very exciting. But first, a proclamation that bears repeating. And it is that the King James Version of the Bible is the truth of His Word. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17 through 19 says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." Every other book masquerading as God's word has been changed to suit various demographics who call good evil and evil good and is thereby false. God is unchanging. God's word is unchanging. God's word is his voice. Therefore, adding to or taking from God's word makes it no longer his word, but man's word. Jesus Christ is God. He is part of the Godhead, the Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." The only person who was born, given as a son, justified in the Spirit, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory, and called the Prince of Peace, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now to our topic, the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit may be the least talked about of the Godhead, but the work that he does is clearly seen everywhere. God the Spirit and God the Holy Spirit are one and the same. Let me go back and say that again. God the Father and God the Holy Spirit are one and the same. By him, the heavens were created and all that therein is. The Lord describes the Holy Spirit as the comforter, teacher, guide, as one who sanctifies and by whom the believer is sealed unto the day of redemption. Before a person accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is already at work in their life, drawing them to Christ, causing them to see their need for God. The Lord God says in John chapter 6, verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." The Lord uses our circumstances to expose our helplessness and powerlessness. He causes us to see our need for him and then offers us a loving relationship with him as the solution. But we must first receive the Holy Spirit. When we repent, receiving Christ at salvation, we receive the Holy Spirit. the work of the Holy Spirit is broad. So I'll be speaking on a few of the things that the Lord said he would do through the Holy Spirit. In Mark chapter 1, verse 8, the Apostle John says, "I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." Very exciting. He's talking about how Jesus will baptize us with the Holy Ghost. One of the definitions of baptize is to purify or cleanse spiritually, especially by a purging. This is necessary to have fellowship with God. Why? Because God is light. God is holy and righteous. Yet, he loves us and wants to have a relationship with us. Therefore, we must repent, receive salvation, being born again, and baptized with the Holy Ghost. We must be cleansed, and the Holy Ghost cleanses us of our sins, freeing us from the bondage of sin and death through faith in the blood sacrifice that Jesus made, and thereby clothes us in his righteousness, making it possible to have fellowship with God. The love of the Comforter then washes over us, purging away every lying assault on our hearts that told us that we don't matter and that nobody cares. The Holy Spirit of God works to heal the desperation and brokenness of our hearts, filling our spirit with affirmation, hope, affection, joy, and approval. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." The Word of God says in John chapter 14, verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his Spirit. John 17, 17. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Philippians 2, 13. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Let me stop right there, because that verse just said, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Meaning that I can't even want to do what God wants me to do unless he put it in my heart for me to want to do it. That is another work of the Holy Spirit. So 2 Corinthians 1:22, God has sealed us with his Holy Spirit. It says, "Who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." God does not leave this precious task or this priceless gift to man to make known. It is God's responsibility to make himself known to us. And yes, he does use people, but ultimately it is the Lord that is at work. We're just vessels. That's why God gives the believer the Holy Ghost to teach us of him. God uses the Holy Ghost to teach us of him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 through 14 says, For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. So, we can't relate to God because we are not like God. And the only way that we can relate to God is if he gives us his spirit to come and literally live inside our hearts, to live inside of us, to indwell us and reveal to us the things of God. Verse 12 says, now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. God just said that the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows them. That the believer received the Spirit of God so that they may know the things that are freely given to them of God, which things they speak, not using worldly wisdom that men teach, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I got a couple of prime examples here for you of worldly wisdom versus godly wisdom versus the things that the world teaches us versus the things that God teaches us. I'm going to talk about fornication. Fornication is having sex outside of marriage. Anybody that has sex and they're not married is committing fornication. Now, the world, in their worldly wisdom, they don't see anything wrong with a person living in fornication. They don't see anything wrong with having a bunch of boyfriends or having a bunch of girlfriends. They don't see fornication as being sexually immoral. In fact, the world will criticize you if you don't live in fornication. If you are a virgin, if a person is a virgin, the world will ostracize and condemn and criticize that person for being a virgin. The act of committing fornication is put on a pedestal in the eyes of the world. But God condemns fornication. And when a person that is a believer, that is born again Christian, says that they don't live in fornication, the world looks at them like they are some kind of a weirdo or crazy or whatever. So that's one example right there, fornication. Okay. So the Holy Spirit reveals to the believer why fornication is condemned by God. The Holy Spirit will teach the believer. Well, first of all, the Holy Spirit will give that born again Christian person a desire to not to live in fornication because the Holy Spirit will cause them to understand how that it grieves God that they are living in a way that is not according to his will, that they are sharing one of the most intimate parts of themselves with another person as a means that they've set that act of having sex up as an idol, that they seek pleasure and they love that pleasure, that fleshly, carnal pleasure, so much that they would be willing to almost do anything for it, to lie to get it. They don't care how many people that they sleep around with or that they hurt to get it. It's just, you know, the Holy Spirit of God has to reveal these things to the believer and cleanse them of it for them to stop living in fornication. So, but like I said, they're only going to receive that knowledge through the Holy Spirit. Another example of worldly wisdom versus God's wisdom is tithing. People don't trust God with their finances. People don't trust God with their money, so they don't tithe. They come first. They figure, well, I got to eat. I got to pay my bills. I got to do this. Me. And God doesn't want me to be this or that or the other, to be homeless or be broke or to not have my lights on. So I'm going to pay my light bill and I'm not going to tithe. But tithing is an act of faith. It is a spiritual thing that the Holy Spirit teaches the believer to understand and to do. And by faith, they trust God with their finances and they tithe, you know. But the unbeliever and the worldly wisdom, you know, they don't live by God and God's instructions or by faith. They borrow and beg and steal and cut corners to make ends. But there is blessing in trusting the Lord. You know, it's amazing to watch Him supernaturally meet my needs. I trust God with my finances. And this isn't the only instance what I'm about to say. I've seen God work in my life many times, but even right now I have $675 on my account with my landlord and nobody knows where the money came from. I don't know where the money came from. The landlord doesn't know where the money came from. The money is just there. And that's amazing to me. I don't know where it came from. But anyway, tithing is a spiritual thing that God teaches His children to do. And another thing that God uses the Holy Spirit for is to teach us. We do not need to depend on a pastor to hear from God. Yeah, you heard that right. One of the works of the Holy Spirit is to teach. Listen to what God says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 26 through 27, and I guarantee you that you will not hear your pastor say this, because your pastor wants you to depend on them and to listen to them so that they can get all your money. But here's what God says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 26 through 27. Watch this. He says, "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you." That word seduce being used in the context as meaning they are trying to convince you of something. He says, "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which ye have received of Him," the divine election, God has chosen you to give you this knowledge, "but the anointing that ye have received of Him abides," or lives, "in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lying, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him." So again, the Holy Spirit draws us to God, causes us to be sorry for our sin towards God, baptizes us, purging us of our sins, and clothing us in the righteousness of the Lord, gives us power to say no to sin and power over unclean spirits to command them, teaches us of the things of God, gives us spiritual gifts, provides for us, and seals us unto the day that God redeems us unto himself. By the Spirit of God, God spoke the world into being and all that therein is. By the Spirit, the Lord Jesus spoke, and the sick are healed and the dead are raised. By the Spirit were the officers knocked to the ground when the Lord spoke, saying, I am he. That's all he said, and they fell on the ground. You can read about that in John chapter 18, verses 5 through 6. Now, I want to ask you a question, and I'm going to be asking these questions at the closing of every one of my episodes. But are you sure that you believe that God loves you so much that he sacrificed his son to save you from an eternity separated from him in the eternal fires of hell? Are you sure that you accept Jesus as your only means of salvation? Are you sure that you've repented of your sins? Are you sure that you've been born again with a new life in Christ? Be not deceived. The Lord says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, as in look and see, all things are become new. If you're not sure, then you need to address that while you still have today. Tomorrow is not promised. As sure as we live, we must die. And the Lord says that he will come as a thief in the night. So let's get right with Jehovah God while we still have the chance. Lord, have thine own way in the hearts of those listening. May your word prosper and not return unto you void, according to thy word. In your name, Lord Jesus, and for your glory, amen. Thank you for listening, and have a good evening.